on, everybody? It's your boy, Real, back with another review, man. This is True Detective, Season 4, Episode 1 and 2, right? This is a bundled up special. Why? Because I just want to jump straight into 3 on time, right? And I have to be known no more as the Lord of Broken Promises, okay? We're going to destroy that name this year. It's over. It's 2024. Rail is trying to bring the heat consistently, right? You know, I don't have a problem with bringing heat. That's what I do. I'm an instant torch. You saw the intro. You see the fire. That is me, okay? Consistency, not so much, huh? We're working on that. We're getting to it. I'm not even consistent with getting my hair done. Like, look at this. Look at this. And this is a great time to not have, like, a 4K HD Ultra camera. Right? Because look at, oh my God. They should have starred me in that Bob Marley flick, which I will be watching. Not on Valentine's Day. You can keep the crown. I'm not with it. But anyway, I was a fan of season 1 of True Detective. Right? Woody, Matthew McConaughey killed it. Killed it. It was dark. It was creepy. It was gloomy. They were acting. They acting was like, it was masterful. The acting in season 1. I was just blown away. Season 2, not so much. It didn't draw me in like the first season. So unfortunately, I fell off of all the other ones. But Pamela in the chat, she's going hard for True Detective. If you've seen our Monday Discord chop up, if you haven't, please go back. It's Discord gang, you know. We're going to do it every Monday. She pushed hard for this one. So here it is. And Jody's in it. I love me some Jody. Huh? Silence of the Lambs, Panic Room. I love me some Clarice. You need some help with that cat, would ya? No, he didn't. No. One of the sickest serial killers ever. Love Silence of the Lambs. And she's like perfect for this role. So we're going to get into what I'm going to talk about mainly. Is like the development, the characters, how I kind of see it going. You know, that new, I love the fresh start in a new series. Your brain is all over the place. You like into it. You like, oh, you got enough information, but you really don't. So I get to speculate like crazy. Like I'm about to speculate all over this thing. So first things first, we got Jody as Liz Danvers. So in this, she's a detective, you know, clearly she has done that before. She's solving crimes. With the very limited information I got, she is an expert, right? And it's funny that you would find someone so skilled like her, so astute in details. And, you know, when she was like doing a crime scene, she was yelling at everybody. She was breaking down a sandwich on the table. Like, it's those little scenes letting, you know, when dude is like, nah, it's just, that was just made. And it's like, no, look at the mayo. Okay, that's at least 2 days. She broke down the mayo. And that is what triggered in my brain. Like, oh, okay, no, she's not some Alaskan bum out here. Just like how much crime could really be going on in Ennis, Alaska, right? But, you know, there's crime everywhere. There's a hood in every part, even where there's snow 24/7, which I get, that's a whole nother thing. But it's letting us know, like, her prowess as a detective. So, I'm just gonna jump out the window. I feel like, because she's not from there, like, let's get, okay, first, let me show you what my brain is. It's taking place in Alaska. You got scientists in the middle of this thing. Scientists, I expect to be there. It's a bunch of ice, a bunch of snow. Supposedly some mysteries or some funky stuff going on up there. I expect scientists to be up there in Alaska. And if you're born there, raised there, indigenous of Alaska, I expect you to be there. If you are from anywhere else in the U.S. or another part of the world, and you just went to Alaska, where is snow, ever snow and ice every day of your life? Then you're going to run into a time where there's no sun for 30 days. Like, who signs up for something like that? I would imagine, and I could be totally judgmental and stereotypical, but I'm just going to go out there on the limb. If you ain't from there, you running far from something else. Life as you knew it, wherever you came from, got so overwhelming, you said, you know what, I'm going to take this money and I'm going to book the next flight to Alaska. I can't take this no more. I need a fresh start. Nobody knows me. I could be whoever I wanted to be. I could just create a character out here in Alaska. So, with my thought being like that, and her being so good at her job, leads me to believe she was like maybe a head homicide detective somewhere, wherever she came from. It was great. And something went terribly wrong. And she's like, I got to get far, far away from it. And ends up in Alaska, where her talents were probably never used. She just went to hide and just be regular and just take her credentials and live a corny sheriff lifestyle. But no. Now a big thing landed in her lap. And she gives me the vibe of, like, when that dude came and talked to her. What's his name? Give me a second, people. I'm going through the cast right now. Ted Corsaro. Apparently, he's like Anchorage. So Anchorage is like big town Alaska, right? So Anchorage is big town Alaska. And this is like some little suburb. That's what I've gathered. I know nothing about Alaska. I'm just using context clues from the show. So when the big crime lands in their feet, the human sickle, huh? the scientists of misery statue that was out there that they're defrosting. When that landed on her lap, she could have been like, look, we ain't got the resources, and it goes to Anchorage. So if something's too big for Ennis to handle, it gets shipped off to Anchorage. But something sparked in her, and I guess her old senses is like, you know what? I'm tired of doing nothing, just being, let me tap into the old me. Let me get my bag. And she's also a boss. She screams at everybody. She's demanding attention. She's demanding poor Peter's entire life. That's a whole nother thing we'll get into. But her wanting to take on this case lets you know that she's trying to atone for something and she wants to prove something. Like, all these other years, she's been out there, it's just been whatever. She's been going with the flow and just being low. But now, with this striking, nah, she wants to take this one on. And it's a whole, like, little cultsy thing going on. And the vibe of this show is terrific. It's just, you feel like you're there. Like, the camera work is amazing. It's dark. The soundtrack to this thing. Oh, the music on here? Top shelf. I'm like, damn, this is good. So, everything is just perfect. It's the right amount of darkness and gloom, and they got a little bit of humor in there, dark humor, and it's okay, cool. So that's what what's her name? Liz. That's what Liz is giving me. Now, like her partner, Peter, the young gun. Peter looks like he gives me the vibe of a dude who knows he was meant to do something big. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, oh, he's that small town guy that's like, I could be great at something. And he's chose this police field, and he sees like how great Liz is, and he's like, he wants to be there. He wants to attain that. He wants to be top dog. So he's ambitious, he's smart, and she is using him. I mean, but at the same time, as she takes his life over, and it's almost like a Batman-Robin type combination. Like, give your life to Gotham. You can't just, what you think, you're going to have a family, a nice little mixed baby, and, you know what I'm saying, live the quiet share of life? No, this is what it means to take over. She sees a light and a spark in young Peter, a willingness, an eagerness, and she's like, I'm about to shape and mold him into what I want. And he kind of wants it, in a sense, because he's like, you know, you could tell he looks up to her, and he's giving it his all. His pops, on the other hand, the number two, knows the game. I like dude. I like him as an actor. Y'all got to give me a second as I scroll. I'm not editing none of this out. Hank. Okay, so Hank is Peter's dad, and he's what you would expect a cop from Ennis, Alaska to be like. Oh, whatever. Like, they probably went crazy. They were stuck in the room all day. searching for something, got frozen, call it a wrap, right? He's trying to go from black to red on the board, or red to black, whatever color is completion in, like, the police terms. Like, if a crime comes in, I think it's red, and you want it to go to black, right? Is that what? I don't know. But he just like, look, if this is a simple solution, let's go ahead and get it. I got my mail order bride to get to. I'm talking about, and I'm not mad at him either. He's in Alaska. I'm not judging nobody that lives in Alaska. If my man is getting scammed by some middle-aged dude in another country talking about, yeah, I'm coming out here, but mom's medicine, I need, if that is putting a smile on his face in that cold, dreary town, he's paying for the quality service. Some of y'all might feel bad for him. I don't. He's having a great time. She says, or she, let's put a quotations on that. I'm highly doubting that's a woman texting our boy Hank. What I love about Hank is she says, send me more pictures of you. My man does not flip the phone over to give her the selfie or even get a little promiscuous with it. Like, oh, let me hit you with something fresh out the shower. Like, you know, you get in your bag, your girl asks you for a photo, you're like, oh, you on that type of time. Hold on, let me get the light right. Let me get something to measure up against something that I'm favorable against, if you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying, fellas? You've been there. You done looked around. Come on, fellas, before you sent that meat pic, you're making me say it. Before you sent that meat pic, you looked around for something that you could compare your thing to. That would give it that, oh, you bringing it like, that ain't no Roku remote. That's the Roku Deluxe that he's got sitting next to. You get fancy with it. So instead of him doing that, my man goes around the house taking pictures of pictures to show himself. Now, look, that let me know all I need to know about Hank. He's not of the time, but he is astute. He's smart. Hank might be dumb. They trying to build him to look like this, you know, like a, just an average man. Like, I don't know, like a grunt. They trying to, you know, like that. Like, incapable. But he reads people very well, which is ironic. When he goes and slaps his son for stealing, it ain't about stealing from his house so much as, look what you letting this woman do to you. This woman got you lying to your father, stealing from your father, and stealing you from your son. Don't give her your life. He sees the play. And he's there, and he's just there to educate his son. And he knows not to take Liz too serious. It's not much she can do to him out there in Ennis, Alaska. You need that. You can't have some militant, over-the-edge, overbearing sergeant lady just running to town, and you see, like, most of your crimes are DUIs. You know what I'm saying? Like, shout out to my girl that was lit, sliding on ice. I said, what? Look, Shorty was having a great time with no L. She got no license. Just, look, what was her name? Cheryl or something like that? Cheryl was litty to titty. She was outside. She was having a great time. Smacking stuff, then come out crying. I was like, oh, Lord. But, yeah, and the seriousness in him, you can see how he switched serious to his son after slapping him and then giving him, like, the old, you know, like, look. Which, I got an early, early hot take. I think we already seen the killer of the scientists. There's a cult vibe, right? See, there's some mysticism in this show. And then there's obviously a killer, right? Before I even get through my little character thing, I'm going to say that it's Hank and Ted from Anchorage that's down with the killing. They with the cult. They with the swirly coat. Yeah, ain't no name for them yet, but there's a cult, and their symbol is the swirl, okay? So I'm going to call them, matter of fact, it look like a Cinnabon. We're going to call them the Cinnabon cult. Yep. Colt Cinnabon, that it is right there. So I think Hank and Ted are both part of Colt Cinnabon. Because why Ted want that so bad? Why he want her to, after that disgusting sex scene with Jody? I've so far on these 36 years of my life, I've seen some things I'm not proud of. Just going to go out there and say that. I could have went. You know what I didn't see? A Jodie Foster sex scene in 36 years. You know what I could have done for another 36 years? You guessed it. Seen a Jodie Foster sex scene. It was not aesthetically pleasing. I didn't need it. They didn't show much. I had to thank God. I didn't need much. I didn't want that. I didn't want it. The conversation after was hilarious, though. They're both cheating when they were married. This is what they do. They've been doing this for a long time. So we're getting a little background info on them. I just didn't need that. Okay, let's do better going forward. These next episodes, please. You got your Jodie scene out. Let's cut it right there. Let's wrap it up right there. But, yeah, I'm just getting that vibe that them two, if they're not part of the cult Cinnabon, they know of it, and they know to stay away from it. They know more than what they're putting on right now. Boom. Next interesting character. Not Liz's daughter. What's her name? Leah. She's just a nasty little rebellious teen. Like, she out here getting mixy with 15-year-old. Like, that's... I don't know. You never want to tread that line, man. When you're 17, your girlfriend 15. You figure if you're in the same school, like if you're in high school, it should all be good. But you know you better turn this relationship off next year, huh? When you're 18, how many people going to do that? So it just builds up for nastiness. It's such a weird area. And she's like lost. She knows she's and there's a race aspect going on up in Ennis I'm going to get to. I'm going to just get to it through her. Because she wants to know more of her culture, which is the I don't know tribe. I swear somebody said it. I don't know what they are. And I will not pretend. I'm just going to say Alaskan. I don't need nobody coming at rail talking about you being insensitive to the three line chin people. I don't know what that is. I don't know what it is. But she don't know what it is. She's learning. Maybe we'll learn more as these episodes go. But there's a bit of racism going on out there. And this is really, you know, it's race. Racial tension is wild. Because it knows no boundaries. If I thought I could go anywhere and not be judged, I thought it'd be Alaska. And I appreciate not seeing no black people in Alaska. Because that's just realistic. We would not be up there. No, we wouldn't be up there. Not by choice. No. We deal with our problems another way. Oh, we'll run to California and build up the house on somebody's land if it gets worse. We'll just be right on the street. Just be part of the that row. So, yeah. Whatever. But, yeah, so it's racial tension going on down there. And she's just your average teenager, confused about life, about who she is. Same old story. Nobody cares. Right? At least not right now. But the badass, Miss Evangeline Navarro. Now, this character here. So, we have what I believe, and Evangeline, if I'm getting it right, Detective Navarro. Right? She was the first Peter. That's what I'm coming up with. Right? She looked like she was tight with Liz. Liz was her mentor. Had a falling out, probably for obvious reasons. I could see Liz just being Liz and they having a fallout. It seemed like they fell out over a case that Navarro might have fumbled or cut some corners. They ain't really get into it. But, yeah. And she's got, like, trauma. Like, her sex scene was very... It was nothing sexy about it. It was nothing but pain. And the way she looked at him, like, she's using my man as just, like, talking meat. Like, look, lay down. Get me laid. We're doing this. Like, okay, give me that. And she's looking like, yeah, I own you. When she was on, like, her eyes were terrifying. Her rhythm, A1. Shorty got it. The motion, she had it. But the fear was there. I was scared for him. He looked a little nervous. He looked like he was enjoying himself. But at the same time, would she kill me? I don't know. And that's probably what made things hotter for him. That's probably why he keeps letting her come in and steal his SpongeBob toothbrush. Men, a lot of times, we just dumb. We just dumb. We know that there's something wrong with her. There's some type of trauma. I'm probably not the best person for her, but she kind of hot. She owe me. Let's just ride this out and pray that I make it out alive. That's just how we come. We just, that's just how we built. This is bad, but it feels good. It's weird. I'm feeling weird about it. But it's kind of exciting. Let's just not end up on the next Snapped. Let's just do that. But yeah, so she's like a army vet or she's in the military. Military vet. And she don't play around. And she's pro-woman. Right? So the case that was, it was an Alaskan. Right? A protester or a civil rights leader or whatever. Done dirty, murdered, and like tongue cut, all the foul stuff, and she cannot rest until she like writes that, like that's dwelling up in her. And then this crime with the scientist and her tongue being found there, it's some sick clues being left. So it's uniting the two back together. So it's like we're about to get some good buddy cop, right? We're finna get Liz's brain and like Detective Navarro's muscle. And anger issues, and it's teaming up to be really good. And then you got my boy coming off the bench, Peter, who looking like he about to start thinking outside the box. I'm liking it. Is there any other characters I need to dig into? No, not really. Not yet. Not just yet. There's some, you know, some side quest characters, but they ain't really popped out to me. Except for Rose, the one that got led to the bodies. Now, this reminds me so much of season one because I remember watching season one of True Detective and going, is it really like some magic happening? Like, okay, I know there's a killer. I know there like there's a human doing this, but it's giving me the vibe like there's some otherworldly thing happening. But it just never came to fruition. It was just a vibe that was set there like, is it a little magic? Huh? Is this some demon angel play going on? What's happening here? It feels unexplainable at times. Little things. It was just like weird. Like, first off, it started off with the moose looking crazy. You know, season four started off with the moose looking crazy about the hunt. Sun came up. They freaked out and all jumped off the cliff. I was like, yo, what's up with that? What's up with the deers and the mooses? The meeses? The moose of the world. Right? The one on Netflix, what movie was that? When the deer was freaking out, what's up with the four-legged, antler-bearing animals? What do they know that we don't know? Why? And is TV trying to tell us something? Is my third eye shut? Is it squinting? What is it? What's up with these deers and moose? So that lets me know some mysticism going on. And then when I ignored it, I was like, okay. Maybe it was a rumbling, it was something. They just want to start off the show kind of weird. But then you go to Rose. She's seeing dead people in the snow telling her, come hither, right? She's following it. Dude stops in the middle of the snow. And I love Rose. One, she has zero fear. Let me tell you something. If one of my loved ones was dead and just kept popping up on me with no words and just like, I'm coming to visit. And I'm like, hey, what you doing over here, Hank? Or Tommy, what you doing, Tommy? And he's just like, I'm going to be like, I don't want nothing to do with this. Is it the house? We got to go. Huh? It's time to get real supernatural up in here. Where's the salt? I love my people that have passed. And God knows I'd give just about anything to get them back for just a day. But let me tell you something. In the physical sense, it alive, non-zombified, non-ghostly. Because if they pop up on me ghost-like, huh? What was that? Salt. Huh? Take that. Get some holy water, bless this fine Chicago tap water, and right in their face with it. I'm not playing them games. I'm not with it. Rose, on the other hand, she's like, yeah, this is what happens up in Enos. It's Alaska, baby. We see dead people all the time. Look, dead people only come to you for three reasons. They want to say hi. They got to tell you something. Or they probably trying to get you to come roll with them to the other world. And I'm like, so the way she said that last part, I was like, okay, say hi. I'm with that. I get that. I'll try and show me something. Maybe try to prove, okay, I'm with that. Take me with you, though? And she just spit that out like that was like, yeah, like, duh. Don't you know that? Like, yeah. They're dead. They want you to be dead. Like, come follow us. Let's get dead together. Like, no, Rose. But she goes out there and following them. Dude stops in the middle of snow, start doing a praise dance, right? And then points at the end. I have no idea what that was about. I don't know if that was just supposed to be artistic. I don't know if he was like, finally, all them years I spent in church praise dancing, now is the time for me to show you what I got on HBO. What better time? If not then, then when? Huh? So he busses it out. And then she's like, she's looking unimpressed. I thought it was impressive. She didn't care. Pointed a direction. What do you know? Toes, elbows, noses, frightened frozen scientists with the clothes perfectly folded. So now we have the crime. We know that it is tied. The missing scientists that are now found, their deaths are related to Detective Navarro's old case. So, right, we got that where they're united. And then as that ass sickle of scientists start melting, right? That's the dirtiest statue ever. But and shout out to Peter for being able to sit there and like I could never watch that. That's pure nightmare fuel. Like you gotta be different to look at that thing for 10 minutes straight and just be like, yep, the ISIS, yep, and I'm just and to go home at night and sleep comfortably, like, nah, you got me. Nah, they built different out there in Ennis. They built different. I could never. But the last thing that they noticed that one of the scientists are missing. So they're going to try to, they saying like, oh no, he's alive. Like Detective Varl feels it. Like she feels these vibes. She feels these energies. So that it just lead more to this mysticism stuff. And you know what? I'm not even going to look too deep into it. Look, dead people come back. They point out people alive. Whatever. I'm going to just roll with the Rose theory. It is what it is. Detective Navarro, get a feeling. She must be, like, tapped in to her people and that land. So she just feels that scientist is alive. I'm going to just roll with it. I got no questions. I'm not going to look no deeper into it. It is what it is. Ghosts exist in Ennis. In Ennis. That's a nasty name for a city. So I guess they're going to hunt down this last scientist. I mean, they got a little stuff they work in. They found like a torture trailer, very creepy, belonging to somebody that's got the matching the cult Cinnabon tattoo. So it's really, we're just locking down. Anybody that's swirling, we own them. Rose was even scared to draw it. She was like, you ever seen this? And drew it in the snow. And she was like, oh, I think I did. Okay, good. And she wiped it away. She was like, I said, okay. Okay, it's a deeper, darker criminal link out there. But I'm not shocked. And to be honest with you, when you go out to a place like that in Alaska, you're signed up for it. I can't imagine non-weird stuff happening out there. Of course there'll be a serial killer. Why wouldn't it be? How many people going to be looking for a serial killer up there in Alaska? He probably getting it off. And he can keep the bodies fresh if you're nasty. There's ice everywhere. Oreos, $20. I'm just looking around like, what is this? But I like it. I like that it takes place out there because it gives you like, it makes you think about a way of life out in a place that I never even cared about. If there wasn't aliens involved, if there wasn't vampires roaming a town for 30 days, like I've never thought about that. You just always see them drilling for oil or like the thing with Kurt Russell. Like if it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like if it's nothing like that popping off in Alaska, then I could care less. Like a transformer being buried, coming back to life. But you never really, it's weird stuff starts out there, right? All the weird, nasty stuff is out there. But we never get a feel of life up there, right? All our horror movies, other stuff start up there. But we don't ever get the way of life. Like, we don't ever see the community and the town and how they give it up. So I think that's actually really super dope, because I'm like, oh yeah, Oreos would cost $20 out there. Like, I'm looking at the little stuff, like, because I'm just asking myself why. Like, where is the pluses to being up there? So I'm really immersed into it right now. Also, yeah, the racial aspect up there. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. It's too cold for all that. Alaska, like, please. Please. And Liz is very anti the Alaskans, or their culture at least. Like, she's irritated by it. But I'm assuming her stepdaughter, that can't be her real daughter. I'm assuming her stepdaughter is she? I don't know. She's confusing. We need more. We need to know more about Liz. We need to know what happened to the dad, and why that culture freaks her out so much. It's something. Maybe I'm wondering if his ancestry led him to his demise, and she's like, okay, cut the voodoo. Huh? Cut all this Alaskan voodoo out. Your dad died to it. Now I got you. Get the perma marker off your face. Take the lines down. We ain't banging that gang. Okay? So I don't know. There's some tension up there, and it's bubbling, and it's just all over the place, and I'm here for it. Like, it's turned out to be beautiful in these two episodes, so I'm very excited for episode 3. But that's all I got, man. What's your hot take? Is the killer already here? Do you see who's giving you that vibe? Like, they in on it. Now, mind you, any of y'all who've seen me do these, I choose, like, my mind changes like almost every episode. I'm the dude that watches a whodunit show and go, no, it's him. Next episode. No, it wasn't even him. It was her for sure. Definitely her. Nope. Oh, no. You remember that cab driver that dropped him off, left for 3 episodes, came back? Definitely him. That's me. I'm choosing everybody. My mind changes on the whodunits. I'm telling you right now. Colt Cinnabon, Tom and Hank. Tom Hanks. So, they part of it. Mark my words. Or don't. Just wait till next episode. But yeah, man, that's all I got for you until season 3. And if you're waiting on Teller Tuesday, it'll be out probably before Tuesday. Maybe even this weekend. Maybe tomorrow. I don't know. Because, you know, football Sunday, I don't plan on doing nothing that day but football. We'll see. But anyway, protect your health, yourself, your wealth, man. Your boy Rel's out of here. Peace.
Yo, I know I don't need no introduction, but y'all know who it is, man. It's your boy Hollywood Rel. And I appreciate you for sliding through and watching these videos. But you know what I need from you? All right, if you ain't already, I need you to like this and subscribe this, man. We at 1,000 trying to get to 2, all right? Push it for your boy. Get them algorithms up. So when it come to that subscribe button...